Give you a very warm welcome to Christ Church Edinburgh this morning. Lovely to see you all with us, and particularly if you're visiting, then we give you an especially warm welcome. We also welcome back into our midst Andrew McLeod. Andrew thinks he's grown up a little bit and he's no longer going by the name Mowgli, I think, until you try and email him, in which case Mowgli68 or something comes up, I think. So never quite gets away from it. Andrew, we welcome you. And Andrew will be with us again this evening. Hopefully you picked up one of our intimation leaflets as you were coming in. If not, there may be some left as you're going out. It gives details of everything that's happening over the course of church life this week. I say Andrew will be bringing God's word this morning and this evening, and at the end of this morning's service we'll also be celebrating communion together. Next Sunday our services are at 11 and 6 p.m. and the Reverend Bob Aykroyd will be with us next Sunday. Next Sunday will also be our anniversary weekend of 6 years being in Christchurch, so we will be having a soup lunch at the end of the service next Sunday. And donations will be going towards the building fund. As we mentioned over the last couple of weeks, we're in the final stages of putting together a proposal in terms of what will happen with the building fund. And next Sunday, we hope to have a bit more information on that to go out, and also information on meetings and consultation events that will take place over October. During the week, this week, our house groups will meet on Wednesday. And again, in the information leaflet, there is a little sub sheet that just gives details of where the house groups will meet this week. They're just for quick summary, they're at Stuart and Irene's at 2:30, Harry and Linda's at 7 o'clock, Mal and Lynn's at 7:30, and at William and Rebecca's at 7:30. And again, we would give you a very warm welcome to join any of those house groups. There's no need to pre-book, just turn up at any of the addresses that are on that little sheet. And there's some questions there that Andrew's prepared for us, so don't blame me if the questions are too hard this week. We know where to point the finger. They're there for you to have a little look at before Wednesday evening. Thursday, the lunch club meets at 12:15, and the finance committee will also meet on Thursday evening at 7:45. The ladies' Bible study will start again in October, not this coming Tuesday, but Tuesday the 8th of October, so that's a week on Tuesday, the ladies' Bible study will commence again. And the only other notice to make is really a sad one in terms of Ailey, Andrew's wife's grandfather, passed away over the course of the week. So we're grateful that Andrew was able still to come and be with us. That's the reason why, one of the reasons why Ailey's not here. The funeral will be next week, and Andrew is also taking that funeral. So a difficult time. Andrew, we appreciate you coming down and look forward to what you'll bring to us this morning. Thank you.
Well, good morning. And thank you to your minister, to David, for inviting me along to come and share God's word with you and to come back with you into your fellowship. Let's worship God. Let's sing together in Psalm 100. All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice.
Oh,
Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are able to come this Sunday morning into your house. We are able to praise you and to worship you. And we just pray that as we come, that we would recognize that you are today on your throne. We can be so conscious that even in our own lives, or as we look around our country or government, things seem so chaotic, so out of control. And yet we can be reminded this evening as we sing and as we come to your word that you are the same yesterday, today and forever. And so we pray, Lord, that we would have our eyes fixed upon you, upon our God, and that we would today see Jesus. That we would look and see the beauty of a Savior. That we would see the horror of our sin. That we would see how much we need Jesus Christ. How much he has done for us. And that we would now recognize that we are in Jesus. So Lord, we pray that we would just be able in this hour of worship together this morning, to be able to, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to be drawn closer to you, to recognize that you are with us, that you are amongst us in our worship today. And as we come to sit around the Lord's table, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity once again to remember what you have done for us in giving your life, in going to the cross, in dying and rising again. And so, Lord, as we open your word, may you open our hearts to receive it. And Lord, we thank you for these young ones that are here present in this congregation. May you be with each one of them. May they too come to know Jesus in their young days. We ask it in your precious and holy name. Amen. Well, it is lovely to see some young folk down here at the front and scattered throughout the congregation. When I used to be here in Christchurch, I remember Ali Sewell always used to chuck sweets into the congregation. I've forgotten all my sweets, so you maybe just... Yeah, that's the adults that are grown in. But I want to... Later on in the sermon, when we're going to be talking here in the service, I'm going to be talking about belonging, because we all belong somewhere. You may belong here to the city of Edinburgh. And I want you to hold that in your mind. We're going to think about that in a moment. But I want us, first of all, to go on a bit of a journey together. I want us to go somewhere. Where do you want to go? Not Glasgow. Somewhere further than that. We go really far away. Where do you want to go, guys? Really far, like America or China? America. Okay, we'll go to America. Right, so you have to go to America. You have to pack your bags. You have to get on the plane. You have to fly for like 8 or 10 hours and get over there. You have to eat loads of food once you're there. What else do you do in America? You go and visit family. You see if you have any family there, or you go and see all the sights. You do all these different things, but then your holiday comes to an end. You have to get back on the plane and you have to come home. And as you fly back into Edinburgh Airport, you're maybe really exhausted. You've been on the plane for like 8 or 10 hours or whatever. And some of you have just done this. You've been on your holidays this summer. And you're trying to saunter back into the airport. Then all of a sudden you come to this checkpoint. And it's passport control. So I hope you brought your passport, because you can't get back out of here unless you brought it. Because I brought my passport. So I'm getting out of here. But I brought my passport. As we come to the checkpoint, they're wanting to make sure that I belong in this country, that I belong here to the country of Great Britain. So I want you boys to be able to make sure, is that me in the picture? Is that young me? Where does it say that I'm from? Raymond, you're not allowed to answer. It says that you're a citizen of... Yeah, well done. British citizen. So I'm British citizen, so I am allowed to come back into the country. So I'm able to come back here. Even though I look British, I probably sound with my accent British or islands, whatever you want to say. They know, but they need to have the proof that I belong here. But you know, when I read this book, when I take this book, it actually says I belong somewhere else. The Bible tells me that I live and I work and I stay here in Great Britain, but I actually belong somewhere else. The Bible tells me that I belong in heaven. And when I leave this world and I go to heaven, I will come to another checkpoint. And there'll be a list of names. And they'll ask for my name. And I will give my name. And they'll go down and they'll find Andrew McLeod. And when they find Andrew McLeod, it'll say, see Jesus who died for his sins. He belongs here. He is welcome here. And so for all of us, we're going to come to that checkpoint. And the list is going to be there. And we need to ensure that our name is on the list. That Jesus has come into our heart. When they find your name, it says, see Jesus. We must believe in Jesus so that we will too belong to Jesus. Okay, thank you. Let's bow our head and let's pray. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, guys. We're going to continue to praise God and sing in this hymn. I'm not sure how familiar it'll be to you, but we'll get it. Grace. We're going to sing this to God's praise.
So because it is brand new for us, guys, I thought I'd sing the first verse just so you can learn it. And then we'll sing the first verse again and you can join me. The second verse is the same tune, but then we go into a chorus and you'll just have to follow me. But you'll be fine.
Righteousness by God and not by man.
Let's read God's word in the New Testament in the letter of 1 Peter. 1 Peter, we'll read the end of chapter 1. We're going to read from verse 22. 1 Peter 1, verse 22. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that we preached to you. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God, or you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Amen. This is the word of God. Let's sing before we consider this passage together. How deep the Father's love for us. Thank you. Let's just bow again, a short word of prayer. Lord our God, we thank you that we are here this morning. We thank you that you know every particular need that is within this gathering of people. And we pray that you would draw near to them and their very point of need this morning, and that you would meet the greatest need of folks in here today, that they too would come to taste and see that God is good. So lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to consider for a while this morning just 1 Peter chapter 2, these first 10 verses or so. But let me begin by saying this, that it can be hard if we feel like we do not belong somewhere, or if we just do not know where we belong, wondering if we're ever going to fit in to a certain situation. When you join a new sports team, if you do not know any of the other guys or girls, then it's difficult to break into that group. Or in school or in church, there are often sets of friends, and you may feel that you're not part of a certain friend group. When we start a new job, how do you ever get past the small talk and the pleasantries that are so clearly around in the cliques that are around the office? It's hard. But for many of you, add into the mix the fact that you go to church, the fact that you are a Christian, it can be terribly isolating if we do not feel that we belong somewhere. But I think there are many of you in here this morning who are spiritually isolated, who do not know where you belong. Are you with or are you without Jesus? You may belong to Edinburgh, to Christ Church, Free Church, but do you belong to Jesus Christ? I just want to explore today what it looks like to belong to the Lord, using the passage that we have read. And I assume you do too, since you're here this Sunday morning. So three B's: believing, belonging, and behaving. I think we'll do two of them to begin with, but believing, belonging, and behaving. So let's first of all look at believing. Because believing is fundamental. It's a non-negotiable requirement if we are to belong to Jesus, to have our home in heaven. Peter has already mentioned in chapter 1 how amazing it is that Christians in here believe in the Lord Jesus even though they've never seen him. They believe in Jesus even though they've never seen him. Chapter 1 verse 8, though you have not seen him, you love him. How? And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. How? And are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Why? For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. It all sounds very good. It sounds attractive. But how is it possible? What have these Christians surrounding us here, what have they done to have such a present reality and to have this future hope? Well, they have done nothing. Miraculously, God has poured out his pure grace that has swept into their lives, and they could do nothing but embrace and believe in Jesus. And that same offer still stands today. But come into chapter 2 with me, into verse 1 to 3. And notice that these folks who have tasted for themselves that the Lord is good. Peter wants us to think about the newborn baby, doesn't he? He uses the illustration of the newborn baby. On that first day, she requires to be fed from her mother. She cannot survive, without that pure milk. It's going to provide her with the strength and with the energy that she needs, the nourishment so that she can grow and develop. She tastes it from the very beginning, and she knows, and she'll tell you in her own unique way that she wants more, and in fact, she needs more of that milk. And just to continue that geographical theme that we've begun this morning through the kids' talk. When you travel around the world, you may avail yourselves of different kinds of foods and drinks, and you just try and become one with the culture that you go and visit. I don't think I'd class myself as very adventurous when it comes to trying new things. Ellie and I were in Greece earlier this summer, and when we went to one of the restaurants, the waitress came over and she took our order, and she gave me a row. And she gave me a row and said, "You come all the way to Greece and you have chicken and chips." But I said, "It's a Greek chicken." But Peter says, those who belong to Jesus have tasted that the Lord is good. And that's the difference. Many of you have not tasted for yourselves. It's like you have walked into, in the city here in Edinburgh, you walked into the best steakhouse in the whole city. And it's like you actually go in the front door and you stand there in the middle of the restaurant, right in the center of the room, and you are seen with your eyes as the waiters carry the steak sizzling from the kitchen down to somebody's table. And you're smelling with your nose all the scents, the aroma that is surrounded in that room. And you're hearing with your ears as those around you, behind you and in front of you are saying how good it is, how good and tasty is the food that they are enjoying. Your own appetite is whetted, but you have not tasted the food for yourself. And you come here to Christchurch, Sunday by Sunday. Perhaps you read your Bible from time to time, but your spiritual appetite is whetted as you are hearing the gospel, as the preacher shares God's word week by week, and as you're hearing the Christians around you saying that they have tasted and now they see and know how good Jesus is. But you have not tasted for yourself. But when we believe in Jesus, we crave more of Jesus and more of his word. The newborn baby does not merely desire some more milk, but she craves it. When you are really born again, there will be a real spiritual craving for God's word and fellowship with God's people. Up in Tain, I basically live surrounded by farms. My neighbor has a gigantic farm and all his sheep and cattle surrounded. And I see the farmers going at certain points to feed his cattle. But the animals, they learn the pattern. They learn the time of day that the farmer, the shepherd, is going to come and feed them. And when the shepherd comes, the beasts are there and they're ready and they're waiting for their next meal. They're impatiently waiting to be fed. If the farmer comes in the morning, the cattle will be there. If the farmer comes in the evening, the cattle will be theirs. But if one of the animals does not join with the rest of the herd at feeding time, then you don't need to be a farmer to work out that there's something wrong with that animal. There's something wrong that they're not theirs. That there's a sickness. There's an illness. An absence of hunger. It raises real questions about the animal's general health. And I apologize to segue this into illustration about you and me. But spiritually, the feeding of God's word is presented this morning. And you're here. But tonight, God's word will be presented. And where will you be? an absence of spiritual hunger raises real questions about our spiritual health. Chapter 2, verse 7. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. What is he talking about? What is he talking about, this stone that is precious? Well, from verse 4, Peter is describing somebody as a living stone. Somebody who has been rejected by men, but chosen by God. Who is this? It is Jesus Christ. You see, our belief and hope are not in some fairy tale or wishful thinking. Our belief is grounded and rooted in a person, in the finished work of Jesus. See, the milk that the Christian craves, that is presented morning and evening, is the pure spiritual milk. There's no additives. There is no who has about it. There is no diluting of what God has given to us here in his word. But sometimes I ask myself, and you can ask yourselves here in Christchurch as well, I say, why do they keep coming to Tin and Fern Free Church? Why is there new people being added to our number? Why do they keep coming? Is it because of anything we've done? Is it because of anything that we've changed in the building or in the worship in the last 10 years? Is it because we have made our church more attractive? Our elders are more nice and welcoming? Is it because we serve the best coffee in the Highlands? No. None of that. They come. I come. You keep coming. We come because the gospel has been presented week by week. The pure, full strength, undiluted message about Jesus Christ. It is attractive to men and women, to boys and girls of all ages. Come then, taste and see that the Lord is good, and you too will find Jesus to be precious. But those who do not believe, they have rejected Jesus. The one that they thought had nothing to offer them was in fact the only one who had anything to offer them. They will stumble and fall over Christianity. And we read at the end of chapter 1, Peter quotes the prophet Isaiah from the Old Testament. All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord, the pure spiritual milk, stands forever. So don't just stand there, sit there, with your mouth watering. Pull up a seat and taste it for yourself, believing in Jesus. And secondly, belonging to Jesus. Our believing in Jesus is intricately connected with our belonging to God. You see, as we continue our holiday theme, when you book your holidays in the summer or for next year or whatever to Spain, you have some options varying in price. You can go for B&B, the bare minimum, half board, you'll get some lunch. Full board will provide you with all of your meals throughout your stay. But if you want to leave your wallet at home, then you need to go for all-inclusive. Nothing's left out, or so they promise. Everything is included in the price. And you see, believing that Jesus has lived, died on the cross for your sins, risen again, defeating death and ascended once more, does not merely include you becoming a member of the free church. That is needful while we live out our own lives here. But Peter describes a fourfold description in these verses, our all-inclusive package of what it means to be a believer, of what it means to belong to God. If you do not believe, if you do not belong yet, then listen and look at verse 9 for yourself to see what is included in being a Christian. A fourfold package. First of all, the Christian, you Christians, you are a chosen people. You know, in school, you remember, you put your minds back when you would play rounders or whatever game, you'd feel quite honoured if you were chosen early on by the pickers. But when the opposite happened, you felt quite unwanted. You weren't chosen by the picker, they just had to settle for you. God has not settled for you. He has chosen you. Look at verse 4 again. We saw earlier that the living stone is Jesus, and he has been chosen by God. We have been chosen right alongside Jesus by God. Unlike in school when you were picked early on because you were popular or the fastest or the biggest, God doesn't choose us because of what we've done or because of what we've not done. Because we haven't sinned as much as other people or because we've attended enough church services, why then does God choose us? Well, he chooses us for the same reason he chose Israel in the first place. In the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy 7, the Lord explains that he didn't choose Israel because they were the strongest, the biggest, or the best. He chose them and he chose you because he loves you. Because of his grace, a kindness shown to them entirely without merit on their part. Can you understand that? That your mere attendance or your intellectual acceptance has brought you no closer to God. The fact that you are inside church, listening, smelling, seeing, means nothing until you taste it for yourself. You're a chosen people. Secondly, you are a royal priesthood. You now have royalty running through your veins. But no matter how friendly the queen of this country is, I cannot decide while I'm down here in the city to just go down to London further and go and meet her. She's tucked away in her palace, surrounded by her armed guards. But our Heavenly Father is not away up in some palace. He has come down as a man. He has lived as a carpenter. He never had a home, and he has enlisted us so to be priests in his service. Priesthood, though, it involves sacrifice. What are we sacrificing for Jesus this morning? I don't suppose very much when we think about the sacrifice that he has made for us. Jesus calls for his chosen people, his royal priesthood, to offer their praise and their time and their lives. It's to be no half-hearted submission or merely a Sunday commitment. We must bring it all and lay it all down at the altar of God. We are a royal priesthood. Thirdly, we are a holy nation. To belong to that first nation, set apart for God's glory. Now, after a summer when our country has changed its prime minister once again, one in, one out, maybe soon again. And despite what I heard the young lads say about me on my street the other day as they saw me, there's the prime minister. I assure you, I'm not one of them. But there's been 6 different prime ministers in my lifetime to cover the whole congregation. There's been 20. The leadership keeps changing of this nation. But there is one leader of our holy nation. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is one leader. There is one head. It is Jesus Christ. Now, my passport, it may say I'm resident of the United Kingdom, but the Bible says that I am a pilgrim on a journey, making my way home to the promised land. Some of you were there in June this year in the Usher Hall of the Sing concert. 3,000 people or so gathered together to praise the Lord. It's like a little glimpse of what heaven is going to be like as we worshipped the Lord together, with people from, yes, Scotland, but all over the world, worshipping that one leader, that one head of this holy nation. But fourthly, you belong to God. This is the ultimate truth for the believer. Yet this possession, it did not come cheap. There was a price to be paid for your freedom. There was a debt to be collected for your sin. For God to possess you, he had to pay the ultimate price. Paul writes in Romans 5:6, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now we talk about people giving their lives for others, but that's very rare. We may conceive of giving our lives for those we love, but Paul tells us that Jesus died for his enemies, for those who hated him. And even from the Father's perspective, when God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. If you have a son or a daughter, maybe you could conceive dying for them. But is there any circumstance when you would give the life of your child for somebody else, let alone somebody who hates you? Yet this is what God did. He let Jesus die because he loves us and he wants to save us. And just as we finish this little section, this is one of your questions for Wednesday night. If it were a crime to belong to Jesus Christ, how much evidence would there be in your life to convict you? We believe in Jesus and we belong to Jesus. Well, let's leave it there at the moment and let's sing together. We're going to sing as we come to the Lord's table. We're going to sing Behold the Lamb, the communion hymn. And the invitation is given to any who love the Lord. If you believe that he has forgiven your sin and cleansed you of all unrighteousness, then come. This is not the free church table. This is the Lord's table. Please be seated.
I'm going to come just very briefly to that final point in the sermon. It's in believing and belonging, and thirdly, behaving. Identity is a massive part of our culture today. We ask the question, who am I? And this question is consuming our nation. People are obsessed with it, are not happy with what they find. Everyone is searching for who they are or who they should become. The Bible teaches us we are not going to find our identity by choosing a new career or a new relationship or a new gender. The Bible teaches us that our identity is wrapped up in Jesus Christ. And specifically in that fourfold list that we have seen. So what do we do with all of this? Do we just pat ourselves on the back as Christians? Absolutely not. You're believing in Jesus, and your belonging to Jesus is intricately linked to how you behave. We must do something as a result of all of this. The end of verse 9. This whole fourfold list.
You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You belong to God so that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. So let me finish by just giving you these two things that we must do. Declare as in profess. If you believe in the Lord and know that you belong to Him, then you must profess to this community that you do so. Publicly in this church, you need to come and make it known by showing as you sit at the Lord's table that Jesus is ruler over your life and your citizenship is now in heaven. And lastly, we must declare. Declare as in praise. When you come here in public worship, as you give, as you sing, as you read, as you listen, praise Him. As you do life, very simple thing to do. Have Christian music or sermons or interviews playing in the kitchen, in the car, in the gym. Don't be ashamed of the praise that you want to give to your God. Praise Him also in prayer. Every time you speak to the Lord, begin with adoring praise of who He is and what He has done for you. We should be craving to praise Him. It should be an unrelenting desire of ours to be in the house of God with the people of God. He who has brought us out of darkness, out of the darkness of our sin, and brought us into His own wonderful light. Believers who belong to God should behave differently to the rest of this world. We should stand out because once we were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Let's just join together and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what Christ has accomplished for us. And that while we were yet sinners, you sent Him, and He obeyed, and He died for us. But He has risen again, and He is even now interceding on behalf of us. So lead us and guide us as we come to your table now. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We are Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. As we acknowledge again this morning that we have nothing to give, that we can do nothing, that we cannot attend enough, we cannot be good enough, but Jesus Christ alone, and is the pure spiritual milk of your word that this church, the Church of Christ, proclaims week by week and day by day. May you help us as Christians to grow and to crave that milk, to crave more of Jesus, more of your word. And we pray for those who are here, Lord, who have not yet tasted, that today, in the power of the Holy Spirit, that they would come to give their lives over to Jesus Christ alone. We ask it in your name. Amen. We conclude by singing together in the words of Psalmist, Psalm 72, in these final three verses from verse 17. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of you, both now and forevermore. Amen.